Well, first, I'd like to say thanks for coming, for showing up at 8:25 in the morning. It can be a little early sometimes. I'm really glad to present at this conference and really thankful for that. First, I'd like to thank Jeff Johnson and Jim Borowski for all the work that they've done on this study, particularly. Today, I'm going to be talking about the production strategies under the case of limited irrigation on the Texas South Plains, basically. A little bit of background. I know that a lot of the speakers yesterday talked about the Ogallala Aquifer and the reduced rates and the different types of things and the legislature that's gone through and so forth. So I'm not going to go into a whole lot about that. Bottom line is that the water districts have implemented rules reducing pumping and that more being considered and evaluated. And then producers need to know what the dollars and cents are so they can evaluate their options that they have on the table. Cotton sorghum rotations are pretty commonplace. However, typically what we see is as water availability decreases, they tend to switch to continuous cotton under dry land scenarios on the Texas South Plains. This study, when we go through and show that, it verifies it, and you'll see that in the results when it comes out. It's also been shown pretty frequently that there's some biological advantages to having a diversified crop system. But what we wanted to know is, does that translate to an economic advantage as well? You'll see here the objectives that we've got, and you know, basically what stays in the producer's pockets is what it comes down to at the end of the day. And they're going to behave based off of that type of information. And we wanted to compare the two systems and determine, you know, the dollars and cents for it. We also wanted to take a look at the market variations, at how much that can change, and also which system is preferred under those types of variations, whether it's up or down for different prices. And I'll show that here in a bit. If some of you don't know where Halfway Texas is, you can see it here on the map. It's about an hour north-northwest of Lubbock. And all that data was collected by Jim Borowski out at the station out there. So now that you know where Halfway is, we're going to talk about the data a little bit. What we wanted to consider and really evaluate was basically two treatment factors, the irrigation capacity, which I've provided there, and then you can also see here the average irrigation applied during the season. Now the way it's set up, the irrigation treatments were pre-planned and balanced, so there was some pre-planning irrigation and at-plan irrigation so that, you know, we made sure the water bucket was even before they went through and did all those types of before the season. So it started out on a level playing field. We also have the two different types of cropping systems, which was continuous cotton and then a cotton sorghum rotation 2-to-1, which was 2 years of cotton and then 1 year of sorghum. Here in this picture, you can kind of see how the field was laid out there at Halfway. You can see the sorghums here, and then you can see the different irrigation treatments on them. This is all pivot irrigated LIPA, so. We created identifiers to make sure that we could specify everything out, and as you can see here, we had CCC, CCS, CSC, and SCC. These last three you'll note here are what we considered as and eventually combined as a rotation system and compared it with specifically continuous cotton. A few of the assumptions we made, the price for cotton we assumed was $63.05 or 10 cents over loan. The average loan value that we found, which was all adjusted to 2008 values, was just a hair over 53 cents a pound. We assumed $6.75 for the sorghum price and $8.86 for the irrigation cost, and the irrigation cost was actually found using the South Plains Electric Co-op tariffs. The way we went about it is we basically wanted to know two key values, the crop value and the returns above direct expenses. You can see there by the formulas basically what we did. And then we combined the returns for CCS, CSC, and SCC to create a rotation system, averaged those all together, and went through about it like that. The annual returns above direct expenses were averaged for continuous cotton and rotation production systems from 2001 to 2008. And then that created the whole system over the time period as well. And then we compared that basically with each other. Now let's talk about some of the results here, and I'm going to briefly explain this table. What we've got here is split into two different treatments. We've got the zero, we've got the 1 1/4, and the 2 1/2 treatments. And then you'll see here in the following tables, any of them that are highlighted with the orange are the preferred system under that scenario. And what you'll notice here is under the prices, we assume the 63 cents for cotton and the 675 for grain sorghum, it was continuous cotton across the board. And as you can see, as water, you know, increased, we had obviously higher returns. There was a much larger difference at the 2 1/2 treatment between the two systems, which you'll note here on the side. And now what we're going to do is talk about some of the price variations that we wanted to analyze. Now that we've seen that continuous cotton is pretty much the preferred system under the assumptions, we wanted to extrapolate and see how different it was when we started moving the prices. First, the first option was reducing cotton prices. And what you'll see here is we determined the percentages they'd have to fall for it to switch over from, for the preference to be to switch from a continuous cotton to a rotation system. The first one to switch was the 1 1/4 inch treatment, and that was at $47.95. You can see there a pound, or down 24% is what it would have to fall to be preferred. The second was the 2 1/2 treatment, and it was at $37.25, and down 41%. And then the last was the dry land treatment, which was 44% down. You can also see here that we start going negative on a lot of these returns, quite a bit actually. But as far as the 2 1/2 treatment, most everything stayed positive. And if we use some different cost numbers, we might probably could have gotten that to shift to where it'd be a little closer to zero. The next thing we looked at was the increased sorghum prices. You'll note here that the percentages are much larger, but it's a 2-to-1 rotation, so it just has a smaller impact when we plug in those prices. So sorghum had to go up 43% for the 1 1/4 treatment, 77% for the 2 1/2, and 155 for the dry land. So as you can see, sorghum prices have to be $17.20 for it to be feasible under dry land, and they've gone up, but I don't think they're going to $17.20. The next thing that we wanted to analyze, which brought the percentages a lot closer, was if sorghum prices increase and cotton prices decrease simultaneously. What you'll see here is a 15% drop, and I use the same percentage for each of the movements, and you know, so it's 15 for both, 15 up and 15 down. And then what you'll see again is still the 1 1/4 treatment switches first over, and then the 2 1/2 switches second, and the dry land switches last. But at 15%, it's fairly feasible, and I'll show you a graph here in a second, and it's kind of within the realm of possibilities. We do have here, you know, it jumps from 15 to 27, which is pretty large, so really the last two treatments, the 10 inches applied and then the dry land are a little bit more outside of the boundaries that we would normally consider feasible. You can see here on the graph what I've done is I've got the prices from 65 to 2008, and I've created this trigger line right here. And you can note this is the price for at 5305 for, actually let me go back one. For this 1 1/4 treatment is what we're looking at. These prices right here, so 53 cents for cotton, 53 and change for cotton, and then 780 for sorghum, basically. And wanted to kind of see and lay it out and see, you know, from the historical perspective, what's the likelihood that could occur. So as you can see here, it pretty much drew a good line through the cotton. So cotton moving down 10 cents, you know, is fairly feasible from that. You do see that sorghum is substantially higher. But as we start approaching some pretty significant numbers, you know, we use 675, but I think the 09 values are looking higher than that. I think they're looking more into the 750 range. So you can see that, you know, from this graph, basically, that it's probably not too far outside the realm of possibilities that if these two simultaneously moved, the cotton price went down and the sorghum price went up, that it could be feasible. The problem is that, you know, it'd have to be viewed as a system thing, and you'd kind of have to know that a little bit in advance. And so maybe if a new plateau formed, that would be a little bit more feasible. Basically, just in summary, I'm going to show you here, you know, the what it took to move it. Again, everything on the 1.25 treatment was able to switch first, and that's because going from 0 water to 5 inches of the water has a lot greater impact on the yield than the going from 1.25 to 2.5. So that's why that switch occurred. Again, for the dry land, you've got to go pretty far out, way below alone, not even close, to get these to shift. Basically, like I said, in summary, everything kind of comes down to, under the assumptions that we had, continuous cotton was the preferred system under everything, all the costs, all the prices, by a long shot. And they have to move quite a bit if we want to get it outside that and get the preference to switch. I think it kind of verifies that the grain sorghum is kind of a catch crop in the South Plains, and I think it kind of shows that as well. And that's about it. So thank you for your attention. If y'all have got any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, the question was, why didn't we limit the downside to the loan rate? We basically wanted to see how far it would have to go to take a look at it and just analyze that further. You know, that's one of the things that we're going to take a look at for the next step, is really making sure that the price analysis portion is a lot more thorough and that we can kind of, you know, set some boundaries or whatever it is we want. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.